en que una serie de países europeos se repartieron el continente africano. Eso fue en lo que eufemísticamente se llamó la partición de África. En los hechos, una violenta repartija e invasión del continente africano. España, ya entonces una potencia en declive, quedó con partes más pequeñas del botín. Las partes del León se las llevaron Gran Bretaña y Francia. España ya era co-ocupante de Marruecos junto a Francia y de ahí extendió su dominio sobre el Sahara Occidental y en lo que llamó Río de Oro. Más al sur tuvo un pequeño enclave actualmente llamado Guinea Ecuatorial. El proceso de descolonización del continente africano en los años 60 del siglo pasado, en medio del accionar de diversos grupos que lucharon por la liberación y la independencia de esos pueblos, finalmente obligó a las potencias coloniales a marcharse. España, en 1975, cuando le corresponde abandonar el Sahara Occidental, estaba sin embargo en una difícil situación política. El dictador Francisco Franco ya estaba gravemente enfermo, moriría un poco después, y ese vacío de poder dejado por la potencia colonial fue aprovechada por el rey Hassan de Marruecos para lanzar lo que llamó la Marcha Verde, una invasión del territorio del Sahara Occidental que así no tuvo la oportunidad de acceder a la independencia. Mauritania desde el sur hizo lo propio, pese a la resistencia del Frente Popular para la Liberación del Sahara y Río de Oro, conocido como Polisario. La invasión se consumó aunque el Polisario pudo mantener bajo control una franja de territorio en el sector este del país, junto a la frontera con Argelia, que dio apoyo a ese movimiento de liberación. Cuba también prestó apoyo al Polisario, pero las características del territorio han hecho muy difícil la resistencia de los defensores de la independencia saharaui. Por otro lado, la posición expansionista de Marruecos, regido por una de las varias monarquías absolutas que rigen en el mundo árabe todavía, bueno, viene también a reafirmar que estados que alguna vez fueron ellos mismos víctimas de la colonización, cuando tienen el poder de hacerlo y por supuesto el respaldo internacional, en este caso de Estados Unidos, actúan también de un modo neocolonialista respecto de otros pueblos. Hace décadas, Indonesia también frustró por varios años la independencia de Timor Oriental, una ex colonia portuguesa, para lo cual la dictadura indonesia de entonces contó con el beneplácito del propio Henry Kissinger. Eventualmente, gracias a una acción de las Naciones Unidas, Timor Oriental pudo recuperar su independencia y expulsar a los ocupantes indonesios. En el caso del Sahara Occidental, también tanto la acción de Marruecos como la de Estados Unidos han ido contra la legalidad internacional. La ONU ha establecido que el Sahara Occidental debe decidir su futuro en un referéndum, el cual nunca se ha podido efectuar porque Marruecos, ocupante ilegal del territorio, no lo ha permitido. Este caso vuelve a poner en el tapete cómo pequeños estados y pueblos son peones de ese ajedrez mundial de las grandes potencias. España, por cierto, tuvo una gran responsabilidad en este caso, también ya que abandonó la colonia sin haber puesto en marcha un proceso de independencia, dejando así el camino libre para la ilegal ocupación por parte de Marruecos. Ahora, el reconocimiento por parte de Washington hace las cosas más complejas, porque es muy difícil que el nuevo presidente estadounidense, Joe Biden, vaya a revertir la medida tomada por Trump, ya que esta puede quedar constituida como una política de Estado. Por otro lado, como habitualmente ocurre cuando una injusticia se comete contra un pueblo pequeño, el caso seguirá siendo olvidado. A más de 40 años que el pueblo saharaui sigue y viene todavía luchando por su independencia. Eventualmente, la presente situación solo llevará a una agudización del conflicto con Marruecos, con el poder de fuego de su ejército, mientras los combatientes del Polisario cuentan con mucho menos recursos, pero a la larga cuentan ciertamente con la justicia de su lado. Una lucha desigual, sin duda, que requiere, por tanto, de mucha solidaridad internacional en apoyo a la soberanía del pueblo del Sahara Occidental y en repudio a la ocupación ilegal mantenida por la monarquía absolutista del rey Mohamed VI de Marruecos. It was not a news item that produced many reactions when the President of the United States, Donald Trump, announced that he would recognize Morocco's sovereignty over Western Sahara and in what was evidently a compliment to the previous move, Morocco would in turn establish diplomatic relations with Israel. A cynical game was completed in which, in this case, besides the Palestinians increasingly abandoned by their fellow Arabs, the other big loser was the Sahrawi people. The Western Sahara, a former Spanish colony on the northwest coast of Africa, is certainly not widely recognized on the map, nor is much heard of its history, one of the last remnants of what was once the mighty Spanish Empire. The Spanish presence on the African continent is not widely known either. As is known, in the 1898 war against the United States, Spain lost its last two colonies on the American continent, Cuba and Puerto Rico. It also lost the Philippines and other islands in the Pacific. However, Spain had participated in the Berlin Conference of 1885 when a series of European countries divided the African continent in what euphemistically was called the partition of Africa. In fact, a violent ransacking and invasion of the African continent. Spain, already then a declining power, was left with smaller parts of the booty. The parts of the lion were taken by Great Britain and France. Spain was already a co-occupant of Morocco together with France, and from there it extended its dominion over Western Sahara and what is called Rio de Oro. Further south, it has a small enclave now called Equatorial Guinea. The process of decolonization of the African continent in the 1960s, amidst the actions of various groups that fought for the liberation and independence of those peoples, finally forced the colonial powers to leave. Spain, in 1975, when it was due to leave Western Sahara, was, however, in a difficult political situation. The dictator Francisco Franco was already seriously ill. He would die a little later, and this power vacuum left by the colonial power was taken advantage of by King Hassan of Morocco to launch what he called the Green March, an invasion of the territory of Western Sahara, which did not have the opportunity to gain independence. Mauritania from the south did the same, despite the resistance of the Popular Front for the Liberation of the Sahara and Rio de Oro, known as Polisario. The invasion was consummated even though the Polisario was able to keep under control a strip of territory in the eastern sector of the country next to the border with Algeria, which supported this liberation movement. Cuba also supported the Polisario, but the characteristics of the territory have made it very difficult for the defenders of Sahara independence to resist. On the other hand, the expansionist position of Morocco, governed by one of the various absolute monarchies that exist in the Arab world, also comes to reaffirm that states that were once themselves victims of colonization, when they have the power to do so, and of course international support, in this case from the United States, also act in a neo-colonialist way with respect to other peoples. Decades ago, Indonesia also frustrated for several years the independence of East Timor, a former Portuguese colony for which the Indonesian dictatorship of that time had the approval of Henry Kissinger himself. Eventually, thanks to an action of the United Nations, East Timor was able to regain its independence and expel the Indonesian occupiers. In the case of Western Sahara, too, both Morocco's and the United States' actions have gone against international law. The UN has established that Western Sahara must decide its future in a referendum, which has never been able to take place because Morocco, the illegal occupier of the territory, has not allowed it. This case brings back to the fore how small states and peoples are pawns in this world chess of the great powers. Spain, by the way, had a great responsibility in this case too, when it left the colony without having set in motion a process of independence, thus leaving the way free for the illegal occupation by Morocco. Now, recognition by Washington makes things more complex, because it is very difficult for the new US President Joe Biden to reverse the measure taken by Trump, since it may become a state policy. On the other hand, as usually happens when an injustice is committed against a small population, the case will continue to be forgotten. After more than 40 years that the Sahrawi people have been fighting for their independence. Eventually, the present situation will only lead to a worsening of the conflict, with Morocco with the firepower of its army, while the Polisario fighters have far fewer resources, although justice is certainly on their side. An unequal struggle, of no doubt, which therefore requires much international solidarity in support of the sovereignty of the people of Western Sahara and in repudiation of the illegal occupation maintained by the absolutist monarchy of present King Mohammed VI of Morocco. Good day.
Thank you. Y en el fichero latino de hoy, domingo 20 de diciembre del 2020, tenemos entre los eventos el tradicional concierto de Navidad a la luz de las velas, ofrecido cada año por el grupo de Lyric Theatre Singer, con canciones navideñas y villancicos. Esta vez tuvo lugar online y de acceso gratuito a través de Facebook y YouTube. El concierto está ahora disponible de modo gratuito durante los días de fiestas de fin de años, y para verlo hay que buscar Lyric Theatre Singer, ya sea en Facebook o en YouTube.
Y el tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, posibilidades de nieve ligera con una temperatura estable alrededor de menos 3 grados.
Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquense con nosotros a Latin Time a través de nuestra dirección electrónica, laplaza.info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entre al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección: www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time. Bien, y por cierto, en nuestro programa ahora antes de Navidad, deseamos a todos nuestros oyentes una muy feliz Navidad. Daniel, te unes también a este saludo de Navidad.
Seguro, seguro, nos unimos al saludo y bueno, les deseamos que pasen una feliz Navidad y nos vamos a reencontrar antes de Año Nuevo, así que ahí los saludaremos por Año Nuevo. Esto ha sido todo por hoy. Esta ha sido una edición especial de Tiempo Latino. Estuvimos con ustedes en las voces Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez. Producción técnica, compaginación y selección musical, Rommel Cajavilca. Tiempo Latino estará de regreso el próximo domingo en las ondas de CKUT 90.3 FM. Manténgase en las ondas de CKUT. Nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report. Tengan todos ustedes un muy feliz domingo.
Latin Time was a Latin American Communications Workshop production. Our team today, Daniel Lara and Sergio Martinez at the mics, and in charge of the technical production, editing and music selection, Rommel Cajavilca. Latin Time will return next Sunday at 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Stay tuned to CKUT. Next, the International Radio Report. Have a happy Sunday.
Radio. Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
This is Christian Breton of Quebec City, Quebec. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for December the 20th, 2020, our pre-Christmas show. We thank you for joining us here on CKUT. We are with you every Sunday morning with news and information from the world of radio. My name's Sheldon, and across from me is Gilles, getting ready for Christmas, a weird Christmas this year.
Very weird Christmas. For the first time ever, there's going to be only one other person here than me. And but I decided to still cook everything that I do, the tortillas, the turkey, and you know what, I'll just have some frozen meals for the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, we're going to do pretty much the same thing here, and we actually may prepare a couple plates of food for some friends that are usually with us here at Christmas, and maybe just drop it off at their door for them, and do that instead. So, and then we have a Zoom meeting with my wife's family on Christmas night. To we're going to be opening each other's presents online on our Zoom conference.
That's cool.
So yeah, hey. Yeah, it's something different. We'll make do. You know, let's hope we don't have to do it next year too. Things will be back to normal. But anyways, so we are here with our pre-Christmas show. We'll have a lot of special programming previews for you for the holidays coming up on shortwave. If you want to reach us, though, our email address always radioreport@yahoo.com. You can listen to us live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. And you can join our Facebook group, which is International Radio Report. So we'll get things going right away. We have a few stories to pass along, and then we'll get to the Christmas material. We have a story from Susan Ashworth of Radio World about some broadcasters, once again, that seem to be in a little bit of trouble, maybe a little more trouble than usual. A broadcaster to pay $125,000 as part of a civil penalty and consent decree, a unique combination of an unsupervised tower structure and a radio contest gone awry led the Enforcement Bureau to levy a $125,000 civil penalty against a Florida broadcaster as part of a consent decree. A Magic Broadcasting 2 LLC was the subject of two investigations by two units within the Federal Communications Enforcement Bureau and the Investigation and Hearings Division. In 2018, they began investigating a complaint that alleged Magic Broadcasting Station, WILN-FM, failed to conduct radio contests in a fair manner. In the first instance, a complainant suggested that winners of an on-air radio contest were pre-selected. A scavenger hunt-like contest called Troll Tracker was initiated by the station and ran for several weeks, even though the Bureau alleged that a female listener allegedly solved the puzzle early on and was asked to sign a non-disclosure agreement so that the station could continue the contest and entice the broadcast audience to keep listening through a long, drawn-out competition. Likewise, in a second contest called Alexa Almighty, the station offered callers the chance to win prizes if they called into a station at a certain time of day. But according to a complaint filed with the agency, it was impossible for the station to have conducted the contest as advertised because there was no live DJ on the air at the time that the listeners were asked to call in. Instead, the station allegedly aired pre-recorded calls between station employees and their friends posting as contest participants. In these two cases, even though enforcement bureaus issued a letter of inquiry to Magic Broadcasting to seek more information, Magic Broadcasting could neither confirm or deny the truth of the allegations. The Bureau said Magic also did not provide any evidence to rebut the issues in the complaint. A second unrelated issue appeared when, in September 2019, the Enforcement Bureau received an anonymous field complaint that an antenna structure had not been properly lit for more than a year. So combine those two stories together, those two complaints together, and they got themselves in a lot of hot water with the FCC and were levied $125,000 penalty. Hopefully they learned from this. They have been told that they can pay the penalty in 20 different installments of $6,250 each. The first is due within 30 days after the effective date. If they default on any of the payments, they will have to pay the unpaid amount and will accrue interest, and the remaining amount will become immediately due.
This is incredible. The story, especially the one with nobody's there to get the calls from listeners for a contest. Come on.
Exactly.
Come on.
And then using your own employees with their friends to make fake phone calls to make it sound like they're listeners.
Oh, wow. Please, this is incredible.
I wonder how many listeners this station has if they had to do that. Maybe they don't have anybody listening. I would think they're going to be very careful now in what they do in the future. So anyways.
They just like took the phone off the hook, or there was like, you know, no more space in the voicemail for anybody to leave a message?
Probably.
Oh, God.
Very strange.
Yep.
As we reach the end of the year, we start to see all kinds of lists come out about the top this, the favorite that, whatever of the year that's just wrapping up. And we've seen the first one come out from iHeart, who owns, you know, hundreds of radio stations throughout the United States in particular. They have listed their top 10 overall songs of 2020. And this comes from an article in Radio World by Paul McLean. iHeartRadio released an interesting list of popular songs from 2020 based on its listener data. It added up total audience spins and streams across its broadcast radio stations and digital network to look for the songs that got Americans through this truly one-of-a-kind year. What's perhaps most interesting about this data is that it shows a complete picture of what folks across the country listened to, not just what those using digital streaming services had queued up, a company representative wrote in an email. She said, Blinding Lights by The Weeknd reached an audience of over 2 billion in the United States alone, and they've now published the overall list. The company also posted lists for specific genres of music. It has been a good year for acts like Country's Morgan Wallen, Rhythmics, Roddy Ricch, Alternative's 21 Pilots, Rock's Shinedown, and R&B's Chris Brown. And you can go to their Facebook page, actually, and look at the individual categories. But the overall list of songs, and I think I'm probably going to really show my age here, or at least show my listening habits, that I don't listen to pop music very much, because I can honestly say that I don't think I have heard a single one of these top 10 songs. And of all the artists, I think I've maybe heard of 3 of them. So I'll run them down quickly. Jill, you can maybe comment if you know any of these afterwards as well. Number 1, we mentioned The Weeknd singing or performing Blinding Lights. Number 2, from Post Malone, a song called Circles. Number 3, Harry Styles with Adore You. Number 4, Dua Lipa, Don't Start Now. Number 5, Louis Capaldi, Someone You Loved. Number 6, Doja Cat, Say So. Number 7, Louis Capaldi again with Before You Go. Number 8, Maroon 5, probably one of my most hated bands in the world, with Memories. Black Bear with Hot Girl Bummer, and second time on the list, Dua Lipa with Break My Heart.
Well, I probably am getting old also, and maybe it also has to do with, you know, me shuffling the same old songs on my YouTube music, but the only band I know here is Maroon 5. And I don't think I've heard any of these songs, or if I did, it's by accident, by doing a FM band scan.
I guess here in Montreal, these are the songs that you'd probably find on stations like The Beat or Virgin Radio, predominantly. The Weeknd, I know, is a Canadian artist. He's a guy from Toronto, I think. So, and he's really popular. So I do know that name. And I do know Post Malone. the name. I probably wouldn't recognize him if he was standing beside me. But and as I said, Maroon 5 is just one of those bands that just makes my skin crawl. I don't know what it is about them, but I just can't deal with that band at all. So anyway, so if you're a pop music fan, you probably know those songs. You're probably happy to hear that they made the top 10. If you're like Jill and I, you probably say, oh, well, such is life.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man. So we go to more interesting stuff for radio listeners, I think.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so. The International Space Station is going to have a slow scan television event coming up from December 24th up to December the 31st. So this is really cool. That means you'll be able to spend your holiday time chasing the International Space Station, trying to listen to that slow scan TV signal. There's no start time or end time, so it should start somewhere on December the 24th. And of course, it goes on all 24 hours a day until December 31st. So everybody around the world will be able to listen to this. Of course, you've got to know when the International Space Station is above you to listen. The frequency of operation is 145.800. That is on the 2-meter amateur radio band and the VHF range. Any basic radio scanner is actually capable of receiving this. You might think you need a fancy antenna and fancy equipment. You really don't. You can use software like Robot36 or MMSSTV. There's one also on iOS, iPad, that if you just search on the App Store for SSTV, you will get an app to decode these pictures. So the event will be a special SSTV event to celebrate the 20th anniversary of ARIS. ARIS is the amateur radio from the International Space Station, their own amateur radio station. So it's the 20th anniversary. They will be using a mold that is PD120, Papa Delta 120. And so every time that there's a pass over your area, your city of the International Space Station, try for that 145.800. If there are passes at night, one thing that I've done a few times that's really cool is you can actually see it cross the sky with your eyes as you're listening to the signal at the same time. It adds another dimension. So that's going to be a fun event for sure. In other news of radio, I have something that is good and bad news at the same time. So the World Radio TV Handbook 2021 is now out. Actually, I've seen a few posts of people that have received their copy. It's the 75th anniversary edition, and it is available from different sources. But there's one place that you should not get it from, and that's the bad side of this story. The World Radio TV Handbook website, WRTH.com, I went to see how much it costs to order it from the website to finally find out that the page where you enter your personal information, or if you have a account already there, the login page is unsecure. That means hackers, bad guys, can easily see what you're typing in that form. So do not purchase it from WRTH.com website, because it is really, really incredible that in 2020, the website is not secure. It should be. And actually, if you go there, your browser is going to tell you. You'll see a little icon, or it's going to actually tell you not secure. So do not purchase it there. If you want to have the WRTH, purchase it from any other place that you want, that you can actually buy the book from, but do not buy it from the main website.
Yeah, that's really scary. You know, somebody's just slipped up there, obviously. And, you know, hopefully the word will get back to them pretty quickly and they'll do something about that. But as you said, there's a lot of places out there where you can find the book. One that a lot of people have had success with is a company in Great Britain called The Book Depository. If you look them up online, you'll find that they have a great selection of publications, and they also ship worldwide free. I don't know how they do that, but I've ordered books from them in the past and never get any shipping charges added. So that's one really good source. And for our Canadian International DX Club members here in Canada, every year we usually get a number of copies of books and offer them to our members through a special club deal. So we'll be getting information out about that as well if you're a CIDX member. But lots of places around where you can find the World Radio TV Handbook. And definitely the 75th anniversary edition is probably going to attract a little bit more attention. Some people don't buy the book every year, and it is more of a trade publication. It's not, you know, for the average everyday shortwave hobbyist sort of thing. It can give you information that's helpful in those areas, but it is a trade publication. Does have a lot of interesting information in it as well. So if you're a collector of those books, you'll probably definitely want the 75th anniversary edition that's just come out for 2021.
Yeah, for those that wonder if you should get it or not, what I say usually is if you are looking for a book for shortwave schedules, that's not the book for you. It's not for that reason that you buy the World Radio TV Handbook. It is a amazing reference of information on broadcasters. People that QSL, for example, or search for contacts of or email address of who to contact, that is probably the best reference for that. Information about stations, very accurate information, transmitter sites, information about the power. It is really an amazing book for what it is, the information on broadcasters.
It's also not just shortwave. It has domestic information for each country as well. There's a couple pages for each country around the world, so you can look at what's going on broadcasting-wise in every country. Also has TV listings in it as well. The official name is World Radio TV Handbook. So it's really all radio, all television. I think there's even some satellite info in it now, too. So. Anyway, so check it out, the 2021 edition, the 75th anniversary edition of the World Radio TV Handbook, now available.
And what is happening with the sun? Well, the sun is a little more quiet than it was in the past month. We had a nice month of pretty much active moments with several sunspots and higher solar flux. Now, things are quieting down. There's one sunspot group that is decaying, AR2793. So solar activity is definitely on the downside. The sunspot number right now is at 12. Solar flux around 80, 82. That will probably get a little lower if there's no other sunspots that show up. But don't fear, 2021 is here soon, and that will probably continue on the increase of solar activity. The K-index has been quite low most of the week, with K-index staying at around 1, 2. So this means propagation should be good. We are really in the deep winter propagation now. I mean, the winter solstice is going to happen on December 21st at 10 hours, 2 minutes UTC. So that will be the shortest day for the Northern Hemisphere, and will be the longest day in the Southern Hemisphere. So this, of course, is solstice propagation. So in the Northern Hemisphere, it's really winter, long nights, propagation really better on the lower frequencies. But it's coming to an end soon as the days will start to get longer slowly and hopefully getting into better days. There will be there's a solar wind actually flowing from a northern coronal hole that could reach the Earth on December 22nd, 23rd. So that could actually impact our propagation conditions. But turn on that radio and just have fun listening. And don't forget that we're in the holiday season. That means there's probably going to be an increase in pirate activity.
This is Margie Barrett of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, listening to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on TKUT 90.3 FM Montreal.
You are listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM, our pre-Christmas edition. And we do have some special holiday programming to tell you about on shortwave. And we really have to thank Alan Rowe of Teddington in the UK. He produces a list every year of special holiday programming on shortwave. We're going to post the full link, by a link on our Facebook page, because there's really way too much for us to cover in the show here today. But we did want to mention a couple of the special shows that are coming up, and the rest you can go and get all the details from Alan Rowe's list. We thank him for putting that together. So a couple of things coming up. Tuesday, December 22nd, via Austria transmitter, is a show called 100 Years of Radio from Funkerberg Konigs Wusterhausen in Germany. It's a relay of a transmission on 810 kilohertz, their domestic station in Germany. So that'll be on 1300 to 1400 on 5960 from Austria on Tuesday the 22nd.
On Wednesday, December 23rd, 21 to 22 hours Universal Time, this is via WRMI. There's a show called This is a Music Show. And they're also on 7780 kilohertz via WRMI. So they will have the This is a Music Show Top 25 of 2020, Part 1. Time to count down the best finds of the year. And Part 2 will be on December 30th, 31st.
A show that I know a lot of people like to listen to on the December the 24th comes from the BBC World Service. It's called A Festival of Nine Lessons in Carols. It's going to be broadcast from 1500 to 1630 on December the 24th on a number of different frequencies. We won't go through all of them, but that program is it's a service that marks for many people around the world the beginning of the Christmas season. It is based on nine Bible readings. They are interspersed with carols, old and new, sung by the world-famous choir of King's College in Cambridge. So we'll put up the full schedule of that. It's an annual event that the BBC World Service runs, and they run it through pretty much all of their transmitter sites around the world at between 1500 and 1630 on Thursday, December the 24th.
One broadcast that you actually was talking about that you actually enjoy is one that is a broadcast for ships or to ships, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's ships out at sea around the world, and it comes from a domestic service or network in Germany called Norddeutscher Rundfunk. And they call the program Greetings on Board Shortwave. I listened to this last year, actually, and it was quite a lot of fun. It's runs from 1900 UTC right through to 2300 UTC. And it's targeted for all parts of the world, for Europe, the North Atlantic, Indian Ocean, East and West. Also goes out to the South Atlantic, pretty much anywhere where there might be ships at sea. So we'll publish the full schedule of this because it's very long. They use transmitter sites in Yerevan, in Germany, in Austria, in France. To get this program around the world on shortwave. It's a lot of fun to listen to, and there's a lot of special messages out there to the ships at sea. So we'll give you all the information on where you can tune in to that. Check it out on our Facebook page in particular, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's a lot of fun to listen to.
Yep, and well, all the target areas that I see in the frequencies and transmitter sites, there will be some of those frequencies that are going to make it wherever you live, that's for sure.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
On Friday, December the 25th, from 1506 to 1515, the BBC World Service will have Her Majesty the Queen's Christmas Message. Scheduled frequencies are 7485 via the Singapore Relay, 9410 via Oman, and coverage of Her Majesty the Queen's traditional Christmas message to the Commonwealth. So this is something that I know that a lot of people kind of want to listen to every year.
Yeah, I think she's done this every year of her reign, and she's been queen like forever. So this has been an annual event, and certainly they use the BBC World Service to get that service out to everybody. So you can check that out. And if you're a SiriusXM subscriber, you've got more Christmas music than you could ever imagine coming up for you. It's already started. These channels have been running for most of the month. They have 16 independent channels that are dedicated to various styles of holiday music. They even have a Hanukkah station for people to listen to. But the holiday Christmas music in particular, you've got traditional country music, contemporary music, a soul, blues, and R&B Christmas station, classical Christmas music, rock music, Latin station, and a couple other really kind of off-the-wall ones going on. So you can sample them all if you're a subscriber. Some of them are limited edition channels that they've even added to their schedule. And interestingly enough, sideline, I just remembered this, SpaceX, Elon Musk's system of launching rockets into space and whatever, his latest launch is carrying a brand new SiriusXM satellite that they're deploying. So they've got a new satellite up there that is going to be used for even more satellite coverage coming up in the new year. So check that out if you're a subscriber and you're looking for holiday music. You'll certainly find it there. To wrap up today, we have a couple contests coming up for the holiday period. The first one is out of Germany. The Deutscher Amateur Radio Club in Germany is running the DARC Christmas Contest, December 26th from 8:30 to 10:59 UTC. It is 80 and 40 meters only, but it is SSB and CW. So we'll put a link up to that contest. And finally, the Union of Radio Amateurs of Russia contest is on December the 27th from 0:00 to 11:59 UTC. They invite all radio amateurs from around the world to participate in their 48th annual RAEM International DX contest. It is 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meter bands, but it is CW only. So you need to be the Morse operator to participate in that one.
And we are already out of time at this pre-Christmas show.
Yep. So we do want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everyone. We will be back next week between Christmas and New Year's, and we will have a special broadcast for you that week with a special guest in studio. So we hope you'll be able to tune us in next week for that special edition of the International Radio Report. So have a great week, everybody, and a great holiday season. We'll talk to you in 7 days with the next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Merry Christmas.
It's coming on Christmas. They're cutting down trees. They're putting up reindeer and singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. But it don't snow here, it stays pretty green. I'm gonna make a lot of money, then I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to fly. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I made my baby cry. Tried hard to help me, you know. He put me at ease and he loved me. loved me so naughty, made me weak in the knees. Oh, I wish I had a river.
Hey, here. So we won't be hosting our families for the holidays this year, but let's look on the bright side. Got an aunt with some zany theories? Just mute her on the family video calls. A hippie cousin that bring new wave sludge to Réveillon? Not this year. To protect your family's health and safety, it's important you stay home and enjoy the peace and quiet.
Put your pants on! Time to shovel the driveway!
Right away, hon. Safe holidays. Let's keep our spirits up.
A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Still looking for a holiday gift or two for the special people in your life? CKUT has new merch, including hoodies and t-shirts, that showcase classic designs dug up from our art attic. Head to ckut.ca to discover our new merch store and find out more about sizing and shipping. Happy holidays from all of us at CKUT.
Time.
C is for
cauliflower.
Confusion. Creation.
Pickle. K for
kitten.
Camp.
C, wait. U, unbearable.
U is for underground.
Oh, yeah.
Umbrella.
T. Trite.
Tremendous.
Torment.
Tire.
C, K.
I can't think of a U one. T.
T.
F is for famous.
Fun. Fumble. M is for Montreal.